I know your preachers all speak from in front of the pulpit, but they don't need something to keep them from falling. I get around the church world quite a bit as a worshiper these days. I hope you realize how wondrous the music is in this church. I've never heard anything quite like what I hear. I'm delighted to be with Marion and David. They are so gracious and made me feel that I'm welcome, and I thank them for that. This is a great church, and I'm honored to be here today as we stand at the very threshold, as David has pointed out, of a new era in the life of St. Luke's United Methodist Church. I want to think about that with you in light of a couple of Bible passages. Now, the first one is from the book of Acts, and it is the start of one of Paul's missionary journeys. They traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit did not let them preach the message in the province of Asia. When they reached the border of Mysia, they tried to go into the province of Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they traveled right on through Mysia and went to Troas. That night, Paul had a vision in which he saw a Macedonian standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." As soon as Paul had this vision, we got ready to leave for Macedonia because we decided that God had called us to preach the good news to the people there. Now, the other Bible passage is one that I would like to ask you to look at as we read it, because when I read this, I get the feeling that Jesus is looking me right in the eye and speaking personally to me. See if you get that feeling. Get your bulletin out, the bottom of page 3, and read as I read it out loud. These are the words of Jesus. "You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This then is what I command you. Love one another." Now, what we are getting from this passage, well, we have this story, of course, of Paul, who is heading over to Asia. He wants to tell the people there about the love of God through Christ, and something stopped him. He couldn't go. He looked back and said, "Well, the Holy Spirit stopped me." So then he decided to go to a town called Bithynia, which is in upper part of Turkey today. And something happened and he couldn't go. Well, this time he said, "The Spirit of Jesus stopped me." He was upset, had a restless night, I guess, had a vision, and a man from Macedonia appeared to him, at least in his mind, and said, "Come over to Macedonia," which he did. And therefore, the Christian faith became, instead of one of the Eastern religions, it became the religion of the Western world, or at least, in my opinion, the most powerful religion of the Western world. And what we have Jesus saying in light of all of this is that you and I are chosen to be part of that religion, and that we are called to live a certain kind of life. And I want to think about that in light of this church as we look forward now to this great new era. I was down in Colorado Springs many years ago at a meeting of ministers, and a young man came over, sat down next to me, and he said, "Aren't you the pastor of St. Luke's Methodist Church?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I want to tell you a story." And here's a story he told me. He was active in another church here in the city, and he got the feeling that God was calling him into the ministry. But he couldn't be sure, and he paced the floor for weeks, I guess, thinking about this. And finally, one day, he and his wife went for a ride. They drove past St. Luke's Church, and he said, "We decided we would go in and sit in the sanctuary and worship in this church." Well, the church was locked, so they went and sat at a picnic table in the backyard, and they bowed their head, and he said, "As we did that, we had the most powerful feeling of the Holy Spirit being right there with us." And he said, "I knew then that God was calling me into the ministry." Well, he went back, enrolled in a seminary, started his studies. A year or two later into that process, he began to wonder, is this really what I'm supposed to do? And one day his wife said to him, well, let's go back to St. Luke's. So he said, we drove back over there, went back, we sat at the same picnic table, and he said, again, I had the most powerful feeling of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I knew then that I was doing the right thing. He said, now I'm a minister in a church, and I'm very, very happy. And then he said this, don't let anything happen to that picnic table. Now, you and I know it wasn't the picnic table, and we know this happens in other places as well. But it happens here, and it happens here with a remarkable amount of power. And that's what I want to think about. Now, this is a great church. Now, every church is a great church, or can be a great church, but I see things happen here that I consider to be remarkable. And remember that Jesus, we just quoted, said, I chose you to lead a life that becomes the gospel, bear fruit, as he used the old agrarian expression. And he said, if you do, God will give you whatever you want. I remember a young woman came to this church many years ago, and she got active in the church. She's a teacher. And one day Jesus chose her. And she went to seminary. She graduated magna cum laude. She came out, got very active in this church, and Linda McCoy went on to start the garden. Kent referred to it last Sunday here and pointed out the fact that the garden is reaching people that the typical church cannot reach. She is reaching out to those people today. We had another young woman come in this church. She wanted to work with young people, and she did for a while, and then Jesus chose her. So Cindy Bates went to seminary, graduated with honors, served here wonderfully for many years, and today she is the senior associate pastor of the largest Methodist church in Denver. I was out there recently as a speaker, and a young man came up to me, and he said, I want to tell you one thing. He said, my whole family is in this church because of Cindy Bates. And then he added this, many people here are. So Jesus reached out to Denver through this church. It's going on and on. We had a young businessman in this church. I think he was in the insurance business, George Davis. Jesus chose him, and he became senior pastor of St. Mark's Church in Carmel. Another friend of mine named George Purnell, he was a teacher. He came here and worshiped for a while, and then Jesus chose him. He just left First Methodist Church in Bloomington on the campus there to become the district superintendent of the Evansville District of the Methodist Church. See how that reaches out? Brent Wright, you all know him. Brent is now the pastor of Broad Ripple Methodist Church. Brenda Frege, I have a friend who attended North Church recently. He said they have this wonderful new associate pastor there. I don't know how new she is, but Brenda is that pastor. Jesus has reached out in such wonderful ways through this church out into the world. I know that there are many more stories like this. Kent told me the other day, he said that at annual conference this past year, some 25 people were ordained into the Methodist Church, and five of them were from this church, from St. Luke's. But you know, one of my favorite stories, let me share it with you, some of you know it, but I had a classmate in seminary named Dave Owen. Dave was an All-American at Michigan. And we became good friends, but when he started out from Michigan, he came to enroll at the seminary at Garrett, and they took one look at him and said to themselves, you can't be that big, strong, good-looking, and also smart. So they turned him down. And he had to go to another seminary. He enrolled there, got straight A's, and then came back, and they allowed him into the seminary, and we became classmates. And when that year was over, he received the award as the outstanding first-year student. Actually, I thought he should come in second, but he came in first. Well, Dave was a devout man. He loves the Lord. He lives the Christian life. But he never did really like the church very well, not the way he saw it. He was in and out of the church some here and there, but it never really was what he wanted to do, and he left the church, became a businessman for several years, became a professional man, a counselor. And he seemed pretty happy. But one day, we were having a discussion in the back of the church here, and somebody said, we need somebody to come in and teach the Bible who's a really good teacher. Well, Dave happens to be an excellent teacher. So they called him up and said, would you come and teach a Bible class here at St. Luke's Church, and we will give you a stipend of, I've forgotten the exact amount, $2,000 a year, we'll say. And Dave said, no, I'm not interested. And now this will show you how God works. I got a call a few days later, and Dave said, is that offer still open? He said, I'm trying to buy a house in Broad Ripple, and they told me at the bank that my income is just not quite enough. I need another $2,000. So he came to St. Luke's, started teaching the Bible, but something happened to him here. The Spirit of Jesus chose David. One day he said, I want to go back into full-time ministry. And he did. One of these days, the bishop came along, took Dave out here and sent him down to St. Mark's Church on the campus of Indiana University. He had a wonderful ministry there, was moved to North Methodist Church at 38th and Meridian Street, and he had a wonderful ministry there until he finally retired. That's how God works. If we're doing in our lives what we're called to do and be, God is working in our lives to lead us where he wants us to be. You know, I look back at my life today, of all those years, 86 of them, and everything that happened to me, the good things, but also the bad things, the terrible things, as well as the wonderful things, the mistakes I made, as well as the things I did right. And you know what? From the day I started to pray, I realize now they coalesced like an arrow coming to this very moment in which I stand. God led me here. And God is in the process of doing the very same thing in your life right now. There's an old story preachers occasionally still tell, I guess, about a young man. He worked on a farm. He lived out there in the country, and he attended a rural church. He found himself caught up in the faith, and he became a believer in Jesus Christ, and he felt God was moving in his life. And one day he was out in the middle of the field, and he looked up and he said, Lord, what must I do with my life? And the clouds began to roll, and they formed two letters, P-C, Preach Christ. And he decided, yes, I will become a minister. So he went and enrolled in a seminary, and a couple of months in, they said, well, you're not exactly what we're looking for here. So he went back home, and he was standing out in his field again. He said, Lord, what went wrong? And he heard a voice speak, and he said, P-C doesn't mean preach Christ, it means plow corn. Now, that's a kind of silly story, but you see, the point of it is, God wasn't calling him to preach Christ in a church, but rather to do it in his work. And that's what he's calling all of us to. Some to do what I do, but most to practice the Christian faith wherever you are, whether you be a doctor or a drywall installer or a painter, or a teacher, or a nurse, or an investment counselor, or a banker, or whatever it is that you have been chosen to do in your life, Jesus chose you. The very fact that you walked in this door and are here today, Jesus chose you to live a life that bears fruit, to live a life that so makes this world and the people around you a better place and better people, that you can actually make it possible for us to love one another. That's what's going on, and that's why we're here. Back in 1993, this church faced the same thing you've been going through, finding a new pastor, going on to a new era in the life of St. Luke's Church. I had to retire, and I knew exactly who should become and be the pastor here. His name, Leonard Sweet. Leonard was the president of a seminary in Ohio, United Seminary. He also is a very popular speaker around the country, has written some excellent books. He even spoke here once, and everybody liked him. And I went to him, and I said, the bishop isn't supposed to know I'm here, but would you be interested in having me put your name in to be senior pastor of St. Luke's Church? Well, Leonard said, yes, I would be interested. Now, fast forward several months of a lot of political coming and going, but the bishop appointed Leonard Sweet as senior pastor of St. Luke's Methodist Church. It was advertised all over the country in religious publications. It was a done deal. But Linda McCoy went to Bob and Joanne Waltz here in this church, and they got some others together, probably some who are here this morning, and said, let's have a 24-hour prayer vigil to be sure that God has been able to lead us the way God wants. And so they had a prayer vigil Easter of 1993, and on Easter morning, after the sermon, I was called to the office, and it was a phone call from Leonard Sweet. He said, I've decided not to come. And I don't know why, he never did tell me, but I think, like Paul, it's just simply the Holy Spirit stopped him. Now, this is not to deprecate him in any way. He's a fine man, an excellent man in every way. It just wasn't that Jesus had chosen him. And so the door opened, and in walks Kent Minion Ballard, who didn't want to come here. But they started praying about it. You know what that does to you. Well, finally, and incidentally, I wrote a book about the history of this church as much as any reason, because I wanted to record for posterity the spiritual journey that Kent went through in order to decide to become pastor here. But Minnietta wasn't so sure. She was still hanging back a little bit until one day, talk about God working in strange ways, she turned on the radio. You know what was playing? A song titled Indiana Wants You. So she said, all right. And what a wonderful blessing this became. This wonderful church has reached out in so many ways. You going on missionary trips, so many of you. But the way in which this has become a powerful church in this community is because you practice your faith where you are. And that's what this is about. And this is the promise, that if you pray and if you live that life, God will guide you on the way, and you will be where, if you'd known it all along, exactly where you would have wanted to be. I had a chance to spend an hour with Rob Fuquay the other day, and I'm a pretty good judge of people. That's why this church grew during my era. I had all these wonderful ministers I worked with, and they did it. And my judgment is, he's the man. I like him, and the things he said in response to my questions and the things he asked me made me realize he's the man, and this church is going on to a wonderful new era in the life of this great church, and he will be the leader, but it will only happen if you do it. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. You are wonderful indeed. How you get all this done, we don't know. But we see it happen. In Jesus' name, amen.